Well, welcome to Local Matters. We are delighted today to have Michael Akins with us. We are talking about education issues, and particularly today we're talking about Tennessee Tech's strategic plan and something called the Grand Challenge. So, Michael, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us. We're looking forward to some good discussions. Now, if you would, some folks may not know you, so tell us a little bit about your background and where you grew up and okay. where you went to school and what you're doing now at Tech, what you've been doing at Tech and what you're doing now.
Okay, very good. Well, so I guess we'll start at the beginning. I am, again, Michael Akins. I'm originally from a small town in McMinn County called Riceville, Tennessee. It's located about halfway between Knoxville and Chattanooga on the interstate, and grew up there all my life, went to McMinn County High School, go Cherokees, and went off and got a marketing undergrad at Appalachian State University over in Boone, North Carolina.
Yes.
Yep, beautiful place up there. And, you know, pretty much all my life, I've always tried to what would become, I would understand, would be an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur. And so, you know, when I was young, I mowed yards, cleaned gutters, made jewelry, anything that I could do to make a buck, I was all about it. So when I got up to Boone, I actually started two companies when I was up there. I did a digital design company, and back, you know, back in the late 90s, that was not what it was today. I was one of the first people out there doing websites for commercial purposes, and I also had a music production company, so I did concerts, and I would fly musical talents from all around the world into North Carolina and truck them up to Boone. And
so did you sing and play also?
I did not. I am not musically inclined at all, but I can appreciate good music, and I can also appreciate what's popular and what people want to hear. So so we brought them into Boone and had a really amazing experience. And, you know, that's actually, I got a marketing degree from Appalachian State. When I first went up there, I thought I was going to get a psychology degree and I was going to be the next hottest psychiatrist up there. About a semester in, that told me that's not what I want to do. So I kind of bounced around. Like I said, I'd been running these two businesses for a couple of years, and I had to take a marketing and accounting class as part of our core curriculum. Didn't know I was going to be a business major at the time. And then I got into those two classes and the light bulb came on and I thought, there's words for the things that I'm doing. And, oh, this is accounting. This can really help me. And I had just been putting, you know, expenses and balances and all that on, you know, just on random scraps of paper. And I learned how to do that and learned how to, you know, the marketing. And so fast forward a little bit, of course, I got my degree, came back and helped a startup company open a 4-star bakery back in our hometown. And so we had three professionally trained chefs, and they realized very quickly about 2 weeks into the opening that they did not have any business running the business. They needed to be in the back cooking. They called me up. And so for the next 2 years, I ran the business, helped expand it about 1,000%. And I really had a great time, and I learned how to cook too. So, you know, you're with three professionally trained chefs, 12 hours a day, you're going to pick up a few things.
You're going to pick up some stuff. So I
realized, you know, right around about the 2-year mark, I realized, you know, I really want to do something with my marketing degree. And I just so happened to find an ad from Tennessee Tech advertising a position up at Tech that hit all the keywords for me. So it was business oriented, but we were going to be doing marketing and design and portfolio work and just all kinds of great things. And I got really excited about it, had an interview, got hired on the spot, and literally came up 7 days later, and that was November 2nd, 2005.
I remember roughly when that happened.
Yes. And you were actually one of the very first people that I met when I came up here, because we were at the time I was working with the Business Media Center,
right.
Kevin Liska, which eventually came to iCube, which we'll talk about in a moment. But, you know, I got brought on board, and actually one of the first things that I was working on was economic development pieces. And we were working with Campbell County and McMinnville, and at the time we were making CD-ROMs.
Yes.
And you know, again, the web just wasn't what it is today.
That was the state of the art.
It was
in
the state
those
of
days.
The art. It was absolutely state of the art. And so I got to work on a lot of cool projects. And I'd go up to Campbell County with actually Tech had the very first high definition video camera in the state, and we had it at the Business Media Center. And I would go to Campbell County and make videos. So I would interview retirees and I would interview business owners and talk about why Campbell County is so great to come live, work, and play. And really what Kevin and I were able to build the Business Media Center into was really kind of one of the state's powerhouses for content management, for marketing solutions, for really anything that a government level entity, statewide, national campaigns, private entities. We did a whole lot of stuff, learned a whole lot in the process.
And no kidding, you did have that reputation.
We did.
We were leading edge.
Yeah, we were leading edge. And so that so about 5-6 years ago, when Dr. Oldham and Dr. Sony came on board, we and of course you were there. You had a lot to do with this as well. We formed the iCube. So we kind of rebranded. We moved outside of the college business. We're still part of the college business, but we moved over to the library. We started the iCube, and we just took off from there. And we continued to do, you know, economic development, do you know, government services, all kinds of really great things. But the whole point of this is what that turned into is right around that time is innovation and entrepreneurship was one of the hot ticket items across universities. So if you don't know what innovation and entrepreneurship means, that basically means we get our students to think innovatively, think outside the box, have creative solutions to problems. And problems could be anything that could be very, very small problems like, you know, I don't like having all my books strewn across my dorm room bed. So we had one kid invent. Well, I call them kids. They're, you know, young adults, invented a little table that you could actually attach to your dorm room and it would hold all of your books. To, you know, the entrepreneurship side of things is, you know, really taking that innovative idea and literally and figuratively capitalizing on
it. Turning
it into a business. Yep. And we want our students, like Dr. Oldham says, we want our students creating jobs, not finding jobs. And, you know, when you talk about entrepreneurship, it's obviously, yes, that, you know, we want our students starting businesses. And we've had several highly successful student-based businesses. But really being an entrepreneur is all about figuring out how do you take that innovation and how do you make it better? Because we say you can be an entrepreneur and never start a business. You can be an intrapreneur. So, you know, you can work for another company all of your life, but you're the one thinking of those creative new ways of thinking. And those are, you know, those mindsets, really innovation entrepreneurship is a mindset. And we at Tennessee Tech, we want to pair those innovative and entrepreneurial mindsets with learning outcomes that they're finding through their classes. So for example, an engineer is creating a widget. Well, we have the means and resources to show them, well, you know, you've made this widget. Here's how you can make a business out of it. Or here's how you can go out and license it. Or, you know, the examples go on and on, but, you know, so we started the Innovation Entrepreneurship Program. I became the director of that. And at the time, too, we actually started an I&E committee. And that was a committee, and it's still going today, of about 15 faculty from all across the university. Because the thing with Innovation Entrepreneurship, a lot of times people say, well, oh, that's a business thing or that's an engineering thing. It's an everyone thing.
It's
a nursing thing. It's an agriculture thing. Agriculture people, farmers, natural innovators, natural entrepreneurs.
Yep.
Artists, you know, unless you're creative,
yes.
Unless you're working for an illustration agency or something like that, you're going to be out there selling your own artwork, and it behooves you to understand basic business and entrepreneurial mindsets. So we started this. It's been highly successful. We've done it 5-6 years, something like that, and we're really one of the pinnacle aspects of the Innovation Entrepreneurship Program is we have a yearly innovation entrepreneurship competition called Eagle Works. And Eagle Works is for every student. Again, we want to be interdisciplinary. So we not only do we want those nursing and agriculture students working, you know, to be in this competition, we want them working with other students because, you know, unfortunately, one of the things in higher education is that we have silos. So engineers go off and do engineer things. Nurses do nurses things. At Tennessee Tech, we say, no, everybody works together because in the real world, as you know, everybody works together to make that best product. So, for example, you've got that engineer with a widget. Well, hey, go and find a business major and they can help you with a business plan. Maybe that widget is a medical device. We'll go find a nursing student that can help with that. And these are real, actual examples. We've had medical devices. We have a current student team of It was a nursing student, chemical engineering student, and a mechanical engineering student, and they formed together and they created a compression strap glove, and they actually won our 2018 competition. And they've gone on and they've actually formed the company, and they're in talks right now with a major medical manufacturer to take their prototype into reality and sell this.
And that's pretty cool to think about all the things that they bring. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Michael Akins about some of the really cool things going on at the university. Now you've also morphed from iCube into a Grand Challenge.
Yes, so I have. So
talk about Tech strategic plan and
absolutely.
The concept of a Grand Challenge.
Absolutely. Well, so I'll say it like this. I kind of transcend from, you know, we've been talking about innovation and entrepreneurship. That model was so highly successful that we actually, about 2 years ago, got a grant from a federal agency, the Economic Development Agency, to form the Center for Rural Innovation, right? And that really kind of set the stage for our rural folks, because we at Tennessee Tech, we understand the importance and the positioning of our impact, our economic impact upon our region in the Upper Cumberland. So Center for Rural Innovation basically provides technical assistance to entrepreneurs outside of Tennessee Tech. But we still very much run the Innovation Entrepreneurship Program. So about this time last year, I was approached by Dr. President Oldham, and Tech was in need of a director for implementation efforts of their strategic plan. So those of y'all that don't know what a strategic plan is, basically that is a plan that will help to articulate goals on how an institution or business or, you know, really any entity, where they see themselves in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Looking out in the future.
Exactly. And how are you going to get there?
Yep.
So I was brought on board to help implementation efforts. And so we have four goals in our strategic plan. And out of one of those goals came the Grand Challenge. And so the Grand Challenge a Grand Challenge is really kind of an idea. It's also a mindset. For major research institutions across the nation. There's about 20 really big institutions that are doing grand challenges, and we thought, you know what, we need to be doing a grand challenge too. So what is a grand challenge? What does that look like? So basically a grand challenge is where an institution says, we know that there is a problem or a challenge out there that is very difficult to solve, but we have as an institution the talent to solve that. So to give you an example, University of Texas, I believe at Austin, their grand challenge is they're taking on climate change. University of Colorado at Boulder, they are looking at all things spaceflight. So they look at how can our institution help to solve the problems of spaceflight. And one of the great things about a grand challenge is, like I set up earlier by saying interdisciplinary, we want our grand challenge and all institutions want their grand challenges to be interdisciplinary. So how would an English major find themselves into spaceflight? That type of mindset. So back in October or so, we said, you know, this grand challenge is so important that we're going to institutionalize this and we're going to absolutely make it happen.
This is Local Matters. We are talking to Michael Akins, who's director of the Grand Challenge at Tennessee Tech University, and we will take a break and be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Michael Akins, the director of Rural Reimagined, the Tennessee Tech Grand Challenge, part of their strategic plan. And Michael, you were talking about local communities and partnering mm-hmm. with them. So certainly a Fentress County or a Clay County or
right.
Jackson,
right.
Or you were talking about McMinn County earlier. There's mm-hmm. plenty of examples of communities that can benefit from this work.
There absolutely are. And, you know, we, like I said earlier, we want to go into the communities and actually have a discovery with them and find out what are the challenges they're facing and how can we help. And, you know, the grand challenge is really multifaceted. So, you know, first and foremost is, you know, there's a lot of service work. So we already have a great Center for Service Learning at Tennessee Tech that already has a lot of great partnerships in the communities. They do can drives. They have things that help, you know, underserved children and populations. The list really goes on and on and on. But, you know, we want to kind of take that model and really be able to expand that in finding that, you know, students who, you know, want to give volunteer hours or want to give service, they can find themselves into the Grand Challenge. And we're planning. I can't really speak to them just yet because they're not fully planned. But just know that there are several very big events coming up that students, faculty, administrators, and the community can get involved with. And then there's also academic and learning outcomes that we're pairing with this. So there are a couple pilot programs that we're going to be infusing in some of our classes this upcoming semester. And where that a portion of the class will actually be focused on Rural Reimagined, and the students will complete some type of project opportunity. Actually, the opportunity is the better word. Is they'll have an opportunity to go in and connect what they're learning in their classroom and be able to actually help the community.
Something practical and a great learning experience,
yeah,
too.
A practical and a learning experience. And, you know, everybody wins on this because the students are making connections to their academics. They're getting out in the community. They're being able to help. The community is receiving the benefits of that. And then also the students, that makes our students more marketable. Because like I said earlier, we want students creating their own jobs. And whether that means they're starting a business or whether that means that they're going out and doing the traditional route of finding a business, they need to be able to demonstrate to themselves, to differentiate themselves as student leaders, and doing things like this through the Grand Challenge, that is really going to be able to position them to help. So it's pretty much a five-way win for everybody.
It's just an exciting program, and it's something the Upper Cumberland will hear a lot about.
Absolutely.
Over not just this next year, but over the entire next few years.
That is correct. It'll be for at least the next 5 years. Our current strategic plan is for 5 years. We've decided that the Grand Challenge in its current form makes sense for at least 5 years. But, you know, who's to say we could be doing this for the next 30 years or 50 years? You know, and I think really that really leads me to my next important part is that, you know, with the things that we're doing with the Grand Challenge, one of our calls is that obviously we're going to help the Upper Cumberland, but what we're doing is we want to make this scalable. We want to scale this out to all of Tennessee. Like you said, we could do something in McMinn County. But we don't want to stop there because, you know, we said earlier in the mission, we're good stewards of our rural communities. Well, in our vision, our new Tennessee Tech vision says that we will gain national prominence. And there is no reason why we can't package this up and make this a national thing, an international thing. For example, we have we've done a lot of work in Cuba. We've done a lot of work in Belize, and I know there's a lot of other places that we're doing work in the world. And you know, 85% of the world is rural. So, what can we do to package this up, make it replicable, and apply it?
Good luck with this. There's just a lot of things that are happening with it, and I know we'll have you back on in a few months when we can talk more about some of the specific elements.
Absolutely.
In the plan.
Absolutely. There is a lot coming up, and I would love to come on the program in a few months. But just know for right now, if you want more information about the Grand Challenge, it's tentech.edu/grand-challenge. Again, that's tentech.edu/grand-challenge. You can get a little bit more information on that. You can also learn a little bit more about our strategic plan. But anybody that's out there in the community, if you're an economic developer, if you're a chamber member, if you are a concerned citizen in a rural area, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what opportunities would you like to bring to Tech for us to be able to help solve.
Well, it's going to be a great adventure and a great thing to follow over the next few years. Well, while we've got you, I know your background quite a bit, and you've worked with governor's schools at Tennessee Tech.
Yep, sure have.
You've worked with the iCube, which
right.
You mentioned earlier. So talk a bit about iCube and about what's going on with iCube.
Yeah, so iCube, like we said earlier, iCube is it's basically our innovation facility over at Tennessee Tech. We've got it up in the library. We do a lot of really cool stuff up there. It's a fun place to be. We have actually three different sections that all work together. So iCube is kind of a play on words. It stands for Imagine, Inspire, and Innovate.
So it's three I's.
That's three I's, yep. And so what we did is we actually named each of our spaces in the iCube after those three words. So the Imagine space, you get to experience virtual reality. So we've got virtual reality for helping teens to learn how to be better drivers and not be distracted drivers, especially really relevant now that July 1, you know, no
Amen.
Hands law. So,
I've already caught myself.
Yeah, same here. So we have all different kinds of great virtual reality installations using all the bleeding edge, cutting edge. We've got Oculus Rift. We've got the several other headsets. And we actually have something that's kind of very unique. There's only one other in the state. We have the VizBox. And what that is basically, instead of putting on a headset of like what you would typically do, you actually put on a pair of glasses that are very similar to 3D glasses that you would wear in a movie theater, except they have three, as my mother would call them, dealy boppers on them. And these are reflective material. And basically you can walk around in a room and the computer can figure out where you are based on these reflective nodes that are on the glasses. And you get to actually interact with 3D holographic images. So, for example, we can bring in a group of nursing students and we can display an exact replica of the human heart. But this human heart is the size of a room. And you can walk all around it, interact with it, stick your head in it. And we've actually mocked it up with several heart conditions. So, for example, plaque buildup. We can say, okay, students, here's the heart. What's wrong with it? And we can simulate an irregular beat. They can stick their head in. They can find the plaque, or they can find I don't know the medical terms for it, but any myriad of things that might go wrong with the heart, they can actually find it. And this is so much different than learning. And, you know, it's one thing to read in a book. We have great textbooks, of course, but when you can actually immerse yourself, you're going to learn in a completely different way. You're going to retain this knowledge. And every time that we have a student go in there, and the heart's just one example, but they'll always go and use it and they'll turn around and they'll say, man, I wish I had this when I was studying for that XYZ test last week. So anyhow, so we have all these great virtual reality stuff, but somebody's got to create it. So then we have the Inspire space. So you've imagined it with virtual reality. Now you're inspired to create it. So we have, at any given time, we've got 20 to 60 student workers and interns working in the facility. And these are from all walks of life, highly interdisciplinary. We've got nurses. We've got designers. We've got mechanical engineers, you name it, we've got them up there.
You got fine arts majors.
We have several fine arts. Yes. We have an internship program with fine arts. And basically the whole idea is that we're working on these projects. Well, somebody's got to create them. We get it. It's student created. We, of course, have administrators that work there. We have about 22 full-time people there. But the students are the ones that are effectively doing the work and getting to learn, getting to use their majors. And they're also working with those other majors. So, for example, a project, we have one of the great projects we did was a partnership with the Tennessee Aquarium in Chattanooga.
And I've seen the result of that.
You've seen the result of that. And we created a river ecosystem that you get to swim around in a river and see all the plant life and fish and all the things that would be in there. Well, you know, if you think about doing this, there's so many different backgrounds that we've got to utilize for that. We've got to work with biology because what fish are supposed to be there? Well, we've got to work with fine arts. We've got to draw these fish or create them in a 3D environment. And then we've got to work with, the list really goes on. You get the idea. We're working with a whole bunch of different backgrounds. We need marketing majors to help us, you know, sell these projects because everything that happens in the iCube is 100% self-funded.
And the cool thing is the engineers get to see the results of what a construction project can do to a river system.
Absolutely.
So they're just almost unlimited possibilities for these. So for you young folks that are thinking about a college major, when you look at tech, ask about the iCube and ask about opportunities for just getting your hands dirty, doing some fun stuff with computers and with vision.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of hands dirty, our final space is the other space is the Innovate space. So we have a full-fledged maker space that any student on campus, again, anybody, doesn't have to just be an engineer, can come in. They can 3D print. We have tools. We've got saws and lathes and drills and basically anything that you need that you can't have in your door residence hall. You can come in and you can take some very basic safety training and you can 3D print until your heart's content. We've got public space back there. So we have students creating businesses up there. We've got really, if you want to come to Tennessee Tech, whatever you want to do, you can find yourself into it probably at the iCube.
Well, we're going to have you back in a few months to talk further about the Grand Challenge and about iCube
and
a lot of other things that we could have some fun talking about. This has been Local Matters. We have been talking to Michael Akins, who is director of the Rural Reimagined component of the Tennessee Tech Strategic Plan and director of planning for that big vision of the future. Michael, it's been great to have you.
Thank you.
We look forward to hearing more great things about that plan.
I'm really looking forward to coming back.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks.